We serve a good and gracious Father. I'm still one of these ones. Hallelujah. Worship for an hour. Hallelujah. Tell you, just get, when you really worship, you just get lost. You lose all of time restraints, and that's a good thing. Because we're too busy sometimes. Sometimes we try to just rush in and rush out. We need to take time for Jesus and take time for the Lord. Tonight I want to talk about overcoming. Overcome simply means to conquer, because as a Christian, there are things in our lives that we're going to have to conquer. And the biggest thing that we need to conquer is our flesh. Boy, I didn't give it one amen out of that whole congregation. The biggest thing we need to conquer is our flesh. Conquering the devil is easy. Conquering the world is easy. But conquering our flesh is a whole nother story. But by the help and grace of God, we can conquer it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night. Sister Heather, I was going to ask you to pray, but I changed my mind. You got off this time. Father, I thank you for this night. Father God, I thank you for your word tonight. Father, as the word is delivered, Father God, let it hit the mark, Father God. Let this natural, weak man, Father God, deliver your word and the power and the purpose that you designed it to be for tonight, Father God. Give me wisdom, Father God. Let me speak as the oracles of God, Father. And Lord, I will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Once a month, we give our pastor off. That's why he's not here tonight, because he was working, but because of answered prayer, he's not working now. So he can still take that time off and do some. He's got a full plate on his shoulders. Got a father who's in the 80s, a mother who's in a nursing home, and a mother-in-law who's moving to Alabama, and he's helping her get moved there. So he's got a full plate, so I'm glad he's able to get some rest and take some time and spend it with his loving wife and take care of her and nurture her needs, because that's important, believe it or not. So we're going to talk about overcoming today. So if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers. Chapter 13, verse 30, and you say, well, Brother Sean, what's that got to do with overcoming? Well, it has a lot to do with overcoming, because it's the story of Joshua. He's going up into the city, and he says, we're well able to go up into the city and take it over. But isn't it just like the enemy, the other, I'll go ahead and call them brothers and sisters in Christ, begin to give him negative feedback? And let me go ahead and read this in its context. And Caleb's stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. How many times have we sat out to start a prayer meeting or start something up at the church, and we've started out good, and something's come up, and something's tried to hinder it, something's tried to stop it, and people have said, we can't seem to get past this. Well, we need to conquer it, and we need to get past it. We need to allow the Holy Spirit, the God that lives on the inside of us, to flow out of us to conquer it. We love for the Lord to flow out of us to see a lost soul saved, and that's important. But it's also important that we overcome our weaknesses in our flesh and in ourselves and in our own personal walk with Jesus. Our infirmities that are in the flesh, we need to learn to overcome them. I have a problem with anger that God is teaching me how to overcome. I've not yet learned to master it yet, but God is teaching me, and God wants to teach us all how to overcome those things, because He wants to be in control of our life and in control of our emotions. Amen. Thank you for the amen. God wants to be in control of you and your emotions, not your emotions be in control of you.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. You're welcome. Numbers 13:30. I will never get upset if somebody asks me where they're at, because I know many a times our pastor has hurried through and I didn't hear it and I couldn't find where he was at. And sometimes I want to know where he's at so I can go home and study it. So because I like to read the Bible. And Caleb, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. I got a parallel in Bible here. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Caleb quieted the people. Oh, that sometimes we would just get quiet and listen to what the men and women of God have to say. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it. But his fellow scouts said, we are not able to go up against the people of Canaan, for they are stronger than we are. How many times has the enemy come to you and lied to you and says, you're not getting victory in this one area. This one area, you can have victory in every single other area, but this one area, you're not going to conquer because you're not strong enough. And guess what? In ourselves, we're not strong enough. But thank God we're not by ourselves. Thank God we have help. Thank God there's one that comes alongside to help us to conquer the emotions, the things that are wrong on the inside of us. Because just because you get saved don't mean you're not going to have emotional things to deal with. There are people that get saved that have been molested, that have had to deal with being molested as a kid. There are people that get saved that just they have to deal with emotions. And emotions are a situation that you just have to deal with. You cannot run from your emotions. They are very real and they are there. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. Our emotions aren't going anywhere. But we have to learn how to harness those emotions. And I didn't like when the Lord began to give me this because there are some emotions I've got to learn to harness and in the process of harnessing. So we're going to bear with one another. We're going to bear each other's burdens. Hallelujah. Because we've got to conquer. We're not victims. We're not victims. We're victors in Christ Jesus. Not because necessarily anything that we do other than bow to Him, but because everything He did at the cross and everything He did when He rose from the grave. We're victors in Jesus as long as we look to Him and as long as we bow to Him. We can overcome anything. We can adapt and overcome anything as long as we look to Jesus. It's when we look away from Jesus and we look to the things in this world and we look to people that we have a problem not overcoming the situations and the weaknesses that are in our flesh. We go through a trial and we go through a trying time or we get we have a nerve problem. And instead of going to the Lord in prayer, we go to the doctor for Xanax. And God wants to be the source of your life and teach you how to conquer those emotions. We don't need to go to the world necessarily to heal our emotions. We need to go to God. Because He will heal our emotions and He will help us conquer those feelings that we have on the inside that are there, that are real and that are there. He'll help us conquer them. But it'll only help us conquer them if we surrender those emotions to Him. We have to be willing to come to, and look in the mirror and say, I have this problem, it's real, and yes, I'm a Christian. But this problem, I wish there was a mirror in here, but there's not, except in the bathroom. You've got to look at yourself in the mirror and you've got to say, I've got this problem with anger, or I've got this problem with lust, and you've got to be able to say, yes, I'm a child of God, but this is a real problem that I have to deal with. Too many times we as Christians want to walk around like everything's okay, like we have no problems, like we're just walking on in the glory cloud. And that's not necessarily the case, my brother and sister. We have a glorious Lord and Savior, but we have a real enemy that wants to fight us and wants to do anything he can to try to hinder us. And He'll use our emotions, He'll use our kids, He'll use whatever He can to keep us in that emotional state. Because God wants us to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why do we need to walk in the Spirit? Because when we're walking in the Spirit, we're not as sensitive to our emotions when we're walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We won't fulfill that anger. I'm getting spanked, y'all. Y'all just have to excuse me. Maybe this is more for me than it is y'all, so y'all just bear with me. It's important that we understand that we can conquer anything with the helping grace of God. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how long it's been a stronghold in your life. If God wants it gone and God wants it removed, He's going to remove it. He's going to remove it. Not you so much. All God wants from you is this. This is all God wants from you is your surrender. Lord, I give this area of my life to you, my emotions to you. I just give this anger problem to you. Lord, help me with it. I give this problem of depression. Lord, I give it to you. This problem of worry. Lord, I just give it to you. And we have all these emotions and they're real. And God wants to teach us how to conquer them and overcome them. And how that when we go to God and we just listen to the song and sing along with the song and take everything to God in prayer. And guess what? We don't in the body of Christ. Because we worry too much and we have too many emotions. And if we would just learn to do what the song says, how much more peace we would have and how much more sleep that we would get at night. There are some things that bother my wife that don't bother me. And there are other areas in my emotions that bother me that don't bother her.
Last night I was talking to her on the phone, and she says, honey, you just need to rebuke the devil. She didn't know how much that meant to me. You just need to rebuke the devil in your mind. And she, what was it, Brother Sean? That's none of your business. But I have a real enemy who doesn't like me very much, and I don't like him. And he doesn't like my marriage very much because I'm a young man of 36 years of age, and I've been married for 13 years. I had to stop and think for a minute. Been married for 13 years. And I'm going to tell you something. That is a testimony in the 21st century. For a 36-year-old young man to get married at 22 years of age and still be married is a testimony in this day and age. And my wife and I have gone through some valleys and we've gone through some struggles. But God is teaching us to conquer them as a couple and conquer our emotions as individuals. And we've not yet arrived where God has still got us on the potter's wheel. And he does you too. Nobody's arrived yet to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Jesus Christ, and we won't until Christ comes. So if you've got some emotional problems or you've got some hurt that you're dealing with that you just can't seem to get over and you just can't seem to forgive, God wants to help you conquer that tonight. You've got some unforgiveness, God wants to help you conquer that tonight. Maybe you feel like you just want to stay in your house and just be alone because you don't like to go out and get around people. God wants to help you conquer that tonight. Because there's maybe you're the one person that's going to touch somebody else for the kingdom of God. Believe it or not, you can touch somebody for Jesus. Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke. It's important that Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Not through me running the church or running an aisle or getting goosebumps, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's not away from Christ, it's through Christ. It's in Christ, if you want to get technical. If you want to get really, really biblical, it's in, when we're in Christ, guess what? Everything falls into place. Luke chapter 11. This is the scripture text where Jesus comes and casts out a devil. And the scribes and the Pharisees are saying, how does he do that? Satan must be casting out Satan. And Jesus answers, and I love how he answers it. I love how our Lord and Savior, it's 17 to 22. And he was casting out a devil, and I'm going to start in verse 14, I'm sorry. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And other tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to a desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Let me tell you something, my brother and sister. When you got saved, you took on somebody's armor. You took on somebody's righteousness. And there is nothing the enemy can do to take that righteousness from you. When you there, the devil comes to you and he tempts you and he tempts me. Thank you for the amen. God doesn't tempt anybody, neither tempteth he any man. But we have an adversary that walks about who likes to come and he likes to stick his ugly head up in our lives, and he's a real enemy. And God wants to learn how to defeat him, and he's going to use our emotions against us. He's very tactful in using discouragement and using depression and using self-worth, that you're not worthless, you're not good enough. But God wants to teach us how to conquer these emotions, because we serve a great God and we serve a good King, and God wants us to walk around with a smile about us like, yes, my Lord and Savior walks with me. My Lord and Savior talks with me. My Lord and Savior's with me. Doesn't matter what anybody says about me, because God is with me. God has my back. And God has your back. If you've surrendered to him and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he has your back. You can be rest assured. But how many times has your enemy reared his head, come to you and said, this area, you're not going to get victory. And I'm going to tell you something, he's a liar. It might be struggling to pray with your husband. It might be struggling to pray with your wife. He's lied to many people for years. And it's that very, the reason he fears it so much is because your husband and you are going to pull down strongholds for the kingdom of God. Because there's a oneness when a husband and wife pray that's magnificent in the kingdom of God. Because the two shall become one flesh. The husband, the young man's going to leave the father and the mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So when a husband and a wife pray, they pray as one. And the scripture says, if any two shall agree as touching anything, it shall be given. Some of you know some of the struggles that my wife have just recently been through. And I'm going to be honest. On our anniversary, we were in my truck. We didn't really go anywhere. We prayed just a simple prayer together. And it was after that prayer the enemy reared his head and tried to destroy our marriage. It was after we prayed. Am I special? No, I'm not special. Is she special? No, she's not special. But evidently, the enemy doesn't like it when two people that are one pray. The devil doesn't like us praying very much and tries to conquer us and tries to defeat us and keep us from praying because he knows the power. He believes more in prayer than we do. That's why he fights it. That's why we'll get headaches when it comes time for prayer meeting. Come time for church today, my wife was hurting. Well, how was she hurting? None of your business how she was hurting. Was fine all week and was hurting worse today than she hurt sometimes, but she was hurting worse today than she had been. And I said, honey, you're going to have to push, because it's not happenstance that she was hurting like that, because we have an enemy, we have an adversary, and we prayed, and I prayed for her on the way to church, and we're going to see God deliver, we're going to see God heal, because that's what I believe. And that's what she believes. We believe in a God who still saves. We believe in a God who still heals. And we believe in a God who still delivers. Because we serve a conquering king. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he's given us the keys to the kingdom. And it's time that God wants to teach us to use those keys and unlock the emotions that are inside of us in the emotions, in the emotional realm, and just turn it and lock it and say, nope, my emotions are for Jesus. My emotions are for God. Does that mean you're not going to fail and not make a mistake? Not at all. It just means we go to God and we say, Lord, forgive me, help me. We're under construction, my brother and sister. We will be until Jesus comes back. You're not going to live a perfect, sanctified, Christian, glorious life your whole Christian walk. Hate to burst your bubble. You're going to make mistakes. That's when we have to go to God and humble ourselves and ask for her forgiveness. No fighter that gets knocked down is out of the fight until he stays down. No Christian that gets knocked down is out of the fight until we stay down and we just give up on God and give up on ourselves. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Powerful little scripture right there. Powerful scripture. Short. But powerful, because when somebody comes to do evil to you, do good to them. Do good to them. Bake them a cake. Buy them an ice cream. Buy them an outfit. Do something good to them. Heap coals of fire on their head. That's easy to say, but it's another thing to walk out. Thank you for the amen. You've got somebody you're in a broken relationship with, and you know God wants to mend that relationship. God wants you to conquer your emotions and your feelings and get your feelings off of your shoulders and conquer it so he can heal you and restore you. And you and that brother or sister can be one and can be reconciled, because God's in the reconciling business. God's in the conquering business. Doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter what was said, what wasn't said. What matters is he told us we need to love one another and we need to forgive one another for his sake. That's the only thing that matters. Don't know why I said that, but I'm going to obey the Lord. Turn with me, please, to 1 John. You can conquer the very thing that's held you in prison. Don't matter how long it's held you there. Don't matter how long you've been asking God to deliver you. You can conquer it in Jesus' name. Not in yourself, but in Jesus' name. Through Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. The very God that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. He wants to quicken you and make you alive. That power that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwells inside of you, it can deliver you and it can set you free from every circumstance and situation in your life that you need to be set free from. And God wants, so desires, that his children be free. Free from the past of all the hurts. Free from all the failures. Free from all the mistakes. God wants you to be free from. Because guess what? When we make a mistake and we ask God for forgiveness, He takes it and throws it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered no more. Now, we have an enemy that likes to remember it, likes to throw it up in our face. But God doesn't remember it. If He walked in this room now and went up to Brother Doug, and the enemy was with him and says, look at the sin, God would look at Brother Doug and say, what sin? Because of the blood of Jesus. And yes, I'm not preaching tonight. I'm more teaching tonight, and that's okay. That's okay. It's important that we understand that there's a conquering king that lives on the inside of us. I said a conquering king. One that came into this world, conquered the world, the flesh, and the devil, and rose up from the grave. He lives on the inside of you, and He lives on the inside of me. And He wants that conquering power to help us to live a victorious life. As I said earlier, we're not victims, but we're victors. And it's time that we quit walking around like we are victims, because we're not. We're victors in Jesus' name. As Pastor says, winning is my business, and hopefully business is good for you. Because God wants us to be victorious. He did not give us His Son, and He did not give us the Holy Spirit to be non-victorious. He gave it to us so that we could be victorious. And so that we could win. I'm not looking at a bunch of losers. I'm looking at a bunch of winners. Don't matter what you're facing, God's greater than what you're facing. God wants to take that mountain that stands before you and throw it into the sea and tell it to get out of your way. Whatever that mountain is that keeps you from walking closer to God, it doesn't matter what it is. God wants you to conquer it in Jesus' name. God wants you and me to conquer it in Jesus' name. I'll include myself in that, because I'm on this journey with you. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. My brother and sister, it's even our faith. The very faith that the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone of, that very faith lives on the inside of us. That is the victory that overcomes the world. The fact that Jesus lives on the inside of us, the fact that there's an empty tomb, is the very fact that we are victorious today. Don't matter how you feel, don't matter if you feel like you've been jerked through a knothole backwards, you're victorious in Jesus' name. Doesn't matter if you go to that mountain that stands before you and you fall 100 times, get back up, because it's that 101st time that God might deliver you. It's that 102nd time that you might see the victory in Christ Jesus, and the victory in your own life. It just might be that when your emotions get pushed that time, and the enemy knows how to push our emotions, you just might look at him and laugh and say, not this time. I'm not giving in this time. And I need help in that area, so Lord, help me. Brother Sean, you're pretty bold confessing your faults. Look, God sees everything, so I ain't afraid to tell y'all. I got nothing to hide, because He sees it all at the house. I'm not going to come here and try to be something I'm not. That's just me. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I fight real battles. I deal with my emotions, but you know what? God's going to teach me how to conquer my emotions. He's going to teach you too. Don't mean I won't leave here and get upset with my wife, but He's going to teach me how to conquer my emotions. Because guess what? When children are involved and you're the daddy, you're known as the disciplinary one, you're going to get upset and your emotions are going to get you. So God's going to teach me how to deal with that. Don't know how He's going to do it, but He is, or He wouldn't give me this message. Thank you for the amen. God's going to teach you too. God's going to teach you too. See, we walk around like everything's okay sometimes when it's really not. And I've got a confidence in the Lord that He forgives me. That's why I can tell you, hey, guess what? I'm not perfect, but neither are you. And are you saying that prideful? No, I'm not saying that prideful at all. What I am saying is this, That there are things in our lives that God wants to teach us how to conquer. And we can only do it through the saving grace and blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only... Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul said, I'm pressed beyond measure. I know what it's like to have pressure. And in this life, we've got pressure. In this life, we've got tribulation. We've got circumstances that we can't control. We've got pain and we've got sorrow that we can't control. But when we look to Jesus, everything will be okay. As long as we're looking to Jesus. It's when we look away from Jesus and we think that that new home or that new car or whatever it might be to take the place of Jesus, that new business, whatever it might be, God wants you to lay it on the altar and look to Him and Him alone and Him be the premium source that provides for you and takes care of you. He is the source of life. He is the source of joy. And He is the source of peace. And if you look to any other thing else, you're not going to have that source of peace. You're not going to have that source of joy if you look away from Jesus. But when you get your eyes focused on Jesus, and some of you is going to take some real discipline to get your eyes focused on Jesus. If you look at, if any of you go to the Tampa Bay Downs and you go look at those horses race, when those horses race, they've got blinders on the sides of them so they can't see the horses. Why? So because they think they're in first place. The only horses they can see are the ones in front of them. They can't see who's to the right of them and who's to the left of them. And God wants us to put some blinders on and not look to what we've done in the past or what we've done on the right hand. But He wants us to look at Him and say, Lord, You saved me. And the Bible says this, that He that began the work in you will be faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began it, He's going to perform it, and He's going to finish it as long as you allow Him and will Him to. But you have to allow Him and you have to will Him to finish that work that He started inside of you. The moment you pull back from conviction and the moment you pull back from the Holy Spirit, it is up to God when He withdraws Himself from you. It is up to God when He stops knocking on your heart. But one day, that conviction won't be there. One day, that knock won't be there. And I'm going to be real honest with you. It happened to one of my uncles. And it's a horrifying thing for God's Spirit not to draw you and not to convict you and to know that you're lost and nobody can save you but Jesus. And you can't get saved because He's not drawing you. I don't care how many times somebody walks down to an altar, if the Spirit of God's not drawing them, they're not getting saved. Because the Bible says no man can come to the Father unless My Spirit draws them. No man, no woman, no boy, and no girl. God's Spirit has to draw you. God's Spirit has to convict you for your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name's never been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I want to encourage you that it needs to get written there. Because we're living in a world where Jesus is coming back very, very soon. Could be today. You know what? It's not so much that Jesus is coming back very soon, and He is. But we're a heartbeat away from eternity. And if people lived like that, that they were a heartbeat away from eternity, they might walk a little bit differently. They might talk a little bit differently. They might live a little bit differently. We could go home tonight, my wife and I, and God forbid we could get in a horrible accident. And boom, we're away into glory, or we go to hell. It depends on your choice. I'm going to heaven, and I know she is too, because we made Jesus the Lord of our lives. And my mom gave, I'm going to confess, tell her myself, because normally I pick on my wife, but I'm going to pick on myself tonight. And she's probably saying, thank you, Jesus. My mom about, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, gave us some marriage tapes. And, Heather's like, you want to watch them? I'm like, no, I don't need to watch them tapes. I did. I'm being honest, didn't I, honey? P-R-I-D-E. Pride. And guess what? We've been watching them. And boy, I wish I would have watched them 5 years ago. Because it's teaching me some things that I didn't know about marriage that I should have learned. Because guess what? We started dating. We dated for 6 months, not even 3 months maybe, and got married 3 months and 13 years later. That's the Lord, believe me. I don't know. We started dating sometime in September or October, and in January we were married. So, but I wish 5 years ago we would have listened to these marriage videos, because there are some very good teachings in these marriage videos that I needed to listen to, so that there are some things God can change in me, because I'm not a perfect husband. I'd like to be, but believe me, I'm not. Sometimes I get upset and say things that I shouldn't say. I know none of y'all have ever done that. None of y'all have ever done that. I know. Because y'all are holy and righteous. I've said some degrading things I wish I could take back. But I'm telling you, we're only together by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Because you're not looking at somebody who's Mr. Prince Charming. I'm a good man, but I need a whole lot of changing on the inside. And God's working on me. And God's working on her. But I believe that I would have humbled my... And I had to go to her and apologize and say, forgive me for not watching those videos 5 years ago. And I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to repent, because I had pride thinking I was hot stuff, that I knew everything the Bible had to say about marriage. And I knew nothing about what the Bible had to say about marriage, if you want to get technical and honest. But we walk with Jesus like we know everything, when in fact we know nothing. And we need to go to Him and ask Him to teach us, to lead us, and to guide us. Because it's Him that dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. It's in Christ Jesus the Lord. Let's see if I'm going to read this last scripture. God wants us to conquer all the failures in our life. God wants us to conquer all the dry bone places. God wants us to conquer them, because we serve a conquering Lord and Savior. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And guess what? He knows when we're hurting. He knows when we're angry. And Jesus was angry, but He didn't sin. I want to learn that. I want to learn how to get upset and be angry and not sin. Because I haven't mastered that yet. What do you mean, Brother Sean? That's all I'm going to tell you. You figure out the rest. But if it hadn't been for the Lord, who was on our side, our enemies would have prevailed against us. And our enemy would prevail against us if it wasn't for the mercy in the grace of Almighty God. I wouldn't be married today if it wasn't for the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. We're happy as long as our focus is on Him. We are. Everybody is. Everybody who keeps their focus on Jesus don't have too many issues. So if you've got some issues tonight, get your focus back on Jesus and He'll help you out. And don't let pride set in, because pride's a horrible thing. I can remember the day she says, let's watch. I don't need to watch them videos. And I did need to watch them. I wish she would have sat down and says, you got to submit to me as much as I have to submit to you, and sat me down and made me watch them videos. Because she can do that as my wife. Because guess what? I don't have control over my own body. It's for the wife. And she doesn't have control over her own body. It's for the husband. Thank you for the amen. That's what the Bible says. So she could have sat me down and says, no, you're going to listen to this, because we need this in our marriage. Because I'm learning some good stuff. So it's hard to swallow sometimes, but I'm learning some good stuff. How to be a better husband and a better father. So, because I desire that. I desire to be a good husband, and I desire to be a good father. Thank God doesn't ask us to be perfect husbands. Thank God He didn't say in His word, love your wife like Christ loved the church, but as Christ loved the church. Because we can never love our wives like Christ loved the church. But we can love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. So if you've gotten a fight with your wife this week, go home and give her a big old hug and give her a big old kiss. And tell her how worthless you are, and that you're asking God to help you. I'm just being honest. I serve a real God, and I have emotions, and so do you. But God wants to teach us how to overcome those emotions. I'm going to read this in closing, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Because if we overcome, there's some things that God is going to grant us and give us. And it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So wait a minute. You mean there's something I've got to do in my Christian walk? Yes. You got to bow to Jesus, and you got to overcome to go to heaven, according to the scripture. You can't just get saved, live your merry old life, do what you want to do, give no regard to God, and expect that you're going to go to heaven. Because you're not. You can't get saved and spend no time in God's house and can't have a love for the brother. We know that we've passed from death to life because I love Brother Doug. Because I come to God's house and I love on God's people. Not because I stay at home and watch TV and try to hear a word from the Lord, but because I love God and I love His people. I know that I pass from death to life because I love the brethren. That's what the Bible says. I'm just the messenger. I cannot say that I love God and not love Brother Doug and not love his house and not have a covering of a pastor over me. That's why God promotes people that humble themselves and get under a covering and get under a pastor, because they're humble themselves and they submit to that pastor under God's leadership. And God promotes those kind of people. It's the people that don't submit to a covering, don't submit to a pastor. They go from here to there and everywhere looking for a word from the Lord and yet never find one and never find peace and never find fulfillment and joy because they're not bowing to Jesus first and they don't have a shepherd over them. Meaning a pastor. Because that's why God raised up pastors, is to look over the flock of God and to look over God's people and to be their covering. Because for everything I say tonight, I'm going to be held accountable for. For your souls, I'm held accountable for tonight. So I take it very, very serious. Yes, I'm a young man, but I'm also a young man that knows and understands, not perfectly yet, but the ways of God and how God operates. And God wants us to conquer, and God wants you to have a fulfilled life. But you can't do it away from Him. You have to do it in Him. You've got to do it in Him. Boy, I love how the Holy Spirit, every service is different with the Holy Spirit. One service might be powerful and might be boisterous preaching, and other times there might be just teaching. But God knows how to speak to you and how to speak to me. And we must make Him first in our life. Not second, not third, not fourth, but first. God needs to be first in your life and in my life. Not your circumstances, not your husband, not your wife, not your children, but Jesus needs to be first. Some of you might have to put that sleep on the altar and give it to Him, and so you can seek His face. Jesus said, "Come and learn of me because I'm meek and lowly." And we need to learn from Him. Not all of them, but Him. One thing that about the disciples, the people said about them, they said this. They said that they knew that they had been with Jesus. When you get alone with Jesus, people will recognize it and they will know it. Because you'll be more loving, you'll be more caring. Your husband will know it, your wife will know it, your children will know it. When you've been with Jesus. Because you can't get around a loving Savior and not let that love touch you and flow through you. To your loved ones and into a lost and dying world. Can't be alone with Him and not Him change you. He's going to change you and He's going to change me when we get alone with Him. Can't wake up in the morning and Him not be the first thought in our life. When we wake up in the morning, He should be the first thing we think about. Oh, not that I got to get the kids up, or not that I got to go do this, or I've got to do that, but I can get up and spend some time with my Master. I love how the Lord always takes us back to the cross. where we first got saved. I was praying for a wife. Doug got married first, and my sister. Jimmy and Kim got married. And I was the one that wanted to be married so bad, and here I am, the last one to get married. Why? Because I was putting that before the Lord. I'm going to be honest. Brother Sean, God deals with you that way? Absolutely. Nothing that gets in front of Him is He going to bless. Thank you for the amen. Anything that's before the Lord, He's going to ask you to give up and surrender. It doesn't matter what it is. So I can remember one morning, it was a Sunday morning, I was at my mom's house getting ready for church, and I'm in the shower, and I'm getting ready, and I prayed, Lord, when am I going to get a wife? And He said, as soon as you surrender it to me. As soon as you give that up and realize you don't need a wife, I gave it up, and it wasn't, Lord, it was quick. As soon as I gave it up, it was quick. I gave it up. I think it was a month later. My mom ran into Heather at a Big Lots. My honest to God's truth says, you want to go to church with me? It's a Wednesday. And I wasn't even at church. I think I was working. And Heather got saved. And she was saved for a couple months and started coming to youth group at that time. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but yes, I do. As soon as I gave up that thing that I thought that I needed so desperately. Now, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. It wasn't that finding a wife was a bad thing. It's that that's all that I was thinking about instead of thinking about him. And see, when we got things that consume us and takes our focus off of him onto other things, we need to change our focus and put our focus back on the Lord and back on Jesus, because he's the one that satisfies. He's the one that will help you keep you from getting so frustrated with your children and with your family members. Because I got some flaky family members. But that doesn't mean I don't love them and God don't love them. Because I can be flaky too. Don't amen too loud, honey. But God wants us to overcome. I'm telling you, God wants you to overcome. It doesn't matter what you're facing tonight. It doesn't matter what stronghold in your life you're facing. God wants to deliver you from it, and God wants to help you overcome it. Because he's God, and he doesn't want his children to walk around in Egypt. He wants to deliver them from Egypt. He wants to deliver. I'm going to say it again. He doesn't want you walking around in Egypt. He wants to deliver you from it and take you out of it. He doesn't want any stronghold or any bondage laying hold on you or a hold on me, because he wants to be able to use us in these last days to reach the damned, the lost, and the dying, and the hurting. And he's got to first fix us so we can go out and help fix other people. Because you ever had somebody who you'll call them up and they just cut you to the bone, you didn't do nothing wrong? Hurting people hurt people. So God wants to teach us how to love them anyway. Even if they hurt you, God wants to teach you how to love them. And let God's love that's in you flow out to them so that they can be healed and that you can be healed. And that's not an easy thing, to love somebody that's hurt you. Thank you for the amen. But when if we want to walk like Jesus walked, guess what? When he was on the cross dying, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On the cross, he was still walking out the word of God. And we, as we walk in our Christian walk, we need to say, Father, forgive them. Or, Lord, I forgive that person that just hurt me. They don't know it, and I'm not going to bring it up. But, Lord, I forgive them. And just go on with our life and just go up and give them a hug so there's no root of bitterness. See, if we just do what the Word says, bitterness won't set in. Thank you for the amen. It's when we don't do what this says that we find ourselves in all kinds of trouble. Thank you. You show me any Christian's life that's in trouble, and I'll show you a Christian who's not obeying the Word of God, and I'll show you a Christian who's not praying like they need to pray. You show me a Christian who's walking in victory, that might have troubles, that might have circumstances that might knock them down, and I'll show you a Christian who's bowing to the Word of God and in prayer and having fellowship with Jesus. Because anybody that has fellowship with Jesus can conquer anything and will conquer anything, and there'll be a boldness to conquer it. The mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by mind nor by power, but by the very Spirit of the living God. See, we got things in our life. Maybe you need to write it down on a piece of paper. Spread it out before the Lord and say, Lord, this is what my enemies are saying about me. I don't know, might be debts, might be bills, might be something, but lay it out before the Lord and say, Lord, this is what my enemies are saying about me. And let the Lord be your defense. And I'm telling you, He's going to defend His people. We're living in a day and an hour where God's going to show Himself strong in the behalf of His people. And we're going to say who has a God like our God, a God so nigh us in all of our ways when we acknowledge Him. Would you please stand? How many have things in their life that they need to conquer? It doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to raise my hand because I've got things in my life that I need to conquer. God wants us to help us conquer them. And we can. We can conquer them. I didn't say it was going to be easy to conquer them, but we can conquer them. Because we got to live a surrendered life to Jesus. Not to a church or organization, but to Jesus. It's time that the church get back to Jesus. The organization itself get back to Jesus. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. So when you've got something that's coming against you that's evil or somebody might be doing wrong to you, overcome that with good. You got somebody talking bad about you on the job, take him out to lunch. Do something good. Do an act of kindness. Because of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness. And that's what we want as Christians, is to have the fruit of the Spirit. See, Pentecostals got into the power and the gifts of the Spirit instead of learning how to let God develop fruit in them of the Spirit. And now God's taking the Holy Church of God and is going to teach us how to let the fruit of the Spirit develop on the inside of each and every one of us. And it's a painful process. Because every fruit tree that bears fruit, He purges. He prunes back so it brings forth more fruit. He cuts the dead away so that what's underneath the dead that's alive can come out and come alive. So if you're going through a pruning process, let the pruning process take place. It's good for the pruning process to take place. I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship, because the majority of people raise their hands that there are things in your life that you need God's help to conquer. But when I pray, I also want you to take hold of it and receive it, because God is going to deliver you and deliver me, because He's God and He wants us to conquer. He wants us to overcome. So, Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus for this night. I thank You for this message. I thank You that we serve a delivering God, Father, and we serve a conquering King, Father. So, Lord, the areas in our life that we need to conquer, I ask that You help us conquer them, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask for Your deliverance, Father God, in those areas that we need deliverance in, Father God. It doesn't matter what it is, Father God. I thank You for delivering us, Father God. I thank You for setting us free in those areas and healing our emotions, Father God, on the inside, and setting us free, Father God, and making us adequate, able to overcome everything that touches our life, Father God. And Lord, we will give You the praise. We will give You the honor. We will give You the glory, Father, because it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Doug, just give us some worship. Just